Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Ken continues our series, Trending in the Gospels.
Well, today, we're in this new series, week two, of Trending in the Gospels, and we're talking specifically about the baptism of Jesus. And I've been a pastor over 25 years, and I have baptized a lot of people. I've baptized people in pools, I've baptized people in streams, I've baptized people in lakes, I've baptized people in built-in baptismal, you know, platform stuff where you lift a lid and there's water under the platform. I've baptized them in portable units where we fill the water. I baptized people when the water was warm. I baptized people when we forgot to warm the water. And it's quite the experience. I have seen, whether I've baptized or I've been a part of churches, I have seen hundreds of people baptized. And baptism is simply this. It's a public act of identification with Jesus Christ. Baptism, it might be hard to see, but it's a lot like this ring that I wear. I've been married 25 years, but if I take this ring off, guess what? Still married. Now, the reality is, if I'm not careful, I can wear the ring and not act like a married man. Right? I mean, you're aware of that, right? So I want to wear this ring as a symbol of my love and devotion to my wife, Karen, but I also don't want to just wear it. I want to live what it represents. I want to be in deep relationship with her. I want to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Now, I miss the mark sometimes. I miss the mark, but I wear this because, you know, 25 years ago, in a Baptist church in Connersville, Indiana, we looked at each other and said, I do. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. But this is just a symbol. It's an important symbol, but it's just a symbol. And baptism is a symbol. Baptism is not a saving act. I have a friend, his name is Tony Spino. Tony grew up in South Buffalo, New York. And I was a pastor on the north side of Buffalo, and Tony started coming to our church, and I met him at a church softball game, and he said, hey, I want to play. And I said, you can't play right now. This is our youth ministry. The students are playing the Volunteers. And he said, well, I want to volunteer. And I said, well, you're not a volunteer, so you can't play. Well, I want to play, so I'll volunteer. And I said, okay, fine. And some kids said, man, this guy Tony, I just met him. He's pretty cool. Let him play, man. Maybe he'll help out. And so the next week, he showed up at youth night. He came early. He set up chairs. He set up tables. He stayed late, tore tables down, put chairs away. I thought, this is pretty good. Started talking to Tony, found out that just a couple of weeks before, he'd been at a Bible study with some friends, and he'd given his life to Jesus. And now Buffalo, New York is 67% Catholic, and his name is Tony Spino. Guess what? Tony's Catholic. But Tony said, hey, I have never met a guy like Jesus. This is blowing my mind, it's changing my life, and I want to get baptized. And I went, oh, time out. You're Catholic, buddy. You've already been baptized. And he goes, no, but it didn't mean what it means now. I want to get baptized. And I said, no, I agree with that, but dude, you're Catholic. Your mom is going to kill me. And sure enough, I got a call from Mrs. Spino. What the heck are you saying to my boy? What thoughts are you putting in his head? You know, he was baptized when he was a baby in the Catholic Church. We wanted to make sure that he didn't go to hell and that he grew up and he followed Jesus. And I said, okay, Mrs. Spino, with all respect, he's 26 years old. He's grown up. He loves Jesus. And guess what? He wants to get baptized as a follower of Jesus. But he's already been baptized. No, I said, when you and your husband, when you and Jean, when you said, hey, we want to baptize this boy, why did you do it? She said, well, the Catholic Church, you know, he's supposed to get baptized. And I said, okay, fine, but what else? Well, I wanted him to grow up and love Jesus. And I said, so he did. He did. And now, he didn't get to make that choice when he was an infant, when he was a baby. Babies don't make choices, right? Right? Babies don't even choose when they, well, we won't talk about the things that babies do that they don't have choices about. But babies don't make choices, but now he's grown into a man, and he's voluntarily choosing to accept what you wished and hoped and dreamed for him. So that's pretty cool, right? And Mom Spino, Deb Spino, she said, yeah. And I said, so when Tony gets baptized, I want you on the front row. Because we're going to affirm what you hoped and dreamed for this boy 26 years ago. Actually, 27 if you're counting the 9 months when you knew you were going to have a baby and you were praying, right? As most people who are pregnant are praying. They're praying hopes and dreams for this new one growing inside the mom, right? Right? That's how we're praying, right? And she said, okay. And I got to baptize Tony Spino in Buffalo, New York, and it was the coolest thing in the world. But it's just a sign. It's a sign. It's an outward sign of something that's already taken place on the inside. And so here we are today. We're at the baptism of Jesus. And if anybody didn't have to be baptized, guess who it was? Jesus. Because Jesus was fully man, but fully God. And I don't know that God had to go dunking himself, but he did. And we're going to take a look at it. Now, as we look in the Gospels, there's the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, and the book of John. I want us to look at the book of Matthew today in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And here's what it says. Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. John who? John the Baptist. And side note, John and Jesus were cousins, right? Because Mary and Elizabeth, well, you have to get back in the Bible and read that story. It's pretty crazy. And John's dad, you know, he was a priest, and when his wife Elizabeth was pregnant, he doubted God, and so God told him, you know what, you're going to be silent, and God struck him with muteness. Like, he muted him, right? Some of you wish you had a mute button for some people in your life, right? God actually muted Zechariah. So John, so Jesus goes from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Look, but John tried to talk him out of it. He says, I'm the one. John says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. We got this backward, Jesus. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And I don't know how long that conversation took. We read it in a couple seconds, but I'm thinking they might have had a little feisty debate for 5 or 10 minutes. And that was good, Jude. Jeanette is feisty. You're absolutely right. So anyway, John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, wow, this is cool stuff. Thomas, how far did you drive for that eclipse? 50 minutes away, right? Yeah, and then it was a little overcast, right? This is like, boom, heavens open up, dove descends, and this is my dearly loved son. Or however God's voice sounds, I don't know exactly. I guess we'll all find out. Wouldn't it be crazy if we got there and he's like, hey, you're here. And you're like, anyway, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. So observations, I just want to make some observations. First observation, Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. I mean, here's the one, in the book of John, we actually have it recorded that John says to the crowd, there's a huge crowd, they're being baptized, it's baptism of repentance. And John says, look, I mean, he points Jesus out as he's coming, look, here comes someone whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. You know, it's like if you were playing a pickup game of basketball in the back corner of our parking lot here at the church, and a car pulled up, and Steph Curry and LeBron James and a few, Kevin Durant, if they popped out and they're like, hey, can we play with you guys? You'd be like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Here's the ball. Actually, this ball is horrible. We should probably, I hope you brought your own because this ball isn't even good enough. I mean, you might have Josiah goes, oh, yeah, bring it. But most people would say, I'm not worthy. And so here comes Jesus. And John says, dude, we have got this backward. I'm the unholy one here. You need to put me under the water, not the other way around. But another observation is this. Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. What is Jesus talking about? You know, evidently, Jesus saw his life, and if you read through the Bible, if you read through Scripture, Jesus saw his life as the fulfillment of all righteousness. You know, Scriptures say, God made him who had no sin that we might become his righteousness. In other words, We are not righteous. Just say that. I am not righteous. Say that with me. I am not righteous. Now, you might think you're a pretty good person. You might actually be a pretty good person. Other people might say, she's a pretty good person. He's a pretty good person. But none of us is righteous to the point where we honor and please God. We could not get this righteousness on our own. The fact that participating in a baptism of repentance, even though he had no sins, shows that the righteousness he wanted to fulfill was required not of himself, but of every sinful man. In other words, he paid the price. If you went to court for a speeding ticket, and you knew that you were speeding, not like, well, you know, I didn't see the sign, I thought I was going the right speed. Like, no, you're in a 25, and you know you're in a 25, and you're going 95, which that happens, by the way. Trust me, I had to go to driving school, and I met a guy who was doing 100 in a 25. If you went there and you knew you were guilty and the judge should throw the book at you and somebody showed up and said, no, I'll pay the fine, I'll do the time, let this person off the hook, you'd be like, who are you? I want to take you to lunch. Can I buy you coffee? Can I give you a gift card, right? You would be incredibly grateful, especially if the judge said, you know what? Yeah, cool, you're off the hook. That's what Jesus did for us. The people who were being gathered by John the Baptist, they were not there based on their Jewishness. They were saying, we want to repent. We want to turn away from our distance from God. We want to be made right with God, and we can't do it on our own. And so the Bible indicates that Jesus became this perfect sacrifice. I mean, Daniel, the teaching team this week, Daniel was pointing out the history that even this season where John was out in the wilderness preaching and crowds were gathering, why were all these people there in the first place? Well, partly Jerusalem's a big place, but also there was a migration, right? People are coming for Passover, and so they're returning home. You know, people do that, right? Labor Day weekend, some of them do that. They go see family. But especially, right, Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? We go and we gather in our hometowns. And that's what we do. That's what they were doing. They were going to Passover. And they were bringing sacrificial lambs. This was a time when priests, when pastors were butchers. They'd have altars, bloody altars, where people would bring an animal for sacrifice for the atonement of sin, for the forgiveness of sin. So if Andrew Brown showed up with a bird, you're like, well, I guess he blew it a little bit. If Arthur showed up with a goat, they'd be like, well, Arthur really messed up. And if Richard showed up with an elephant, you're like, what did he do? I mean, they would sacrifice, but the symbolism specifically of an unblemished lamb, that was the atoning sacrifice. And John even said, when he pointed out Jesus, look, a man whose sandals I am worthy to untie, he actually also said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As people are pulling their lambs along on the way to Passover for sacrifice. And there's even more to that story. If you get into the Old Testament and Passover and there's just so much there. Jesus said we have to do what is required. What's required? A penalty would be paid, and we don't have to pay it on our own. Another observation. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Artists have tried. Just go home some, even now, Google it, right? Images of Jesus' baptism. Artists have tried to capture what that moment must have been like. You think you've seen a beautiful sunset? You think you've seen signs and wonders? Maybe you've seen a meteor shower, or you've been watching the totality of an eclipse. I can't even imagine how cool this moment must have been. The people, when we talk about what's trending, people were like, were you there when John, who's been yelling and preaching and baptizing, when he says, this guy, I'm not even worthy to baptize, and the skies open up, and a dove comes down, and this voice, and we're like, what in the world? You know, Jude prayed, like, maybe it's the end of time. Maybe we're living in the last days, and maybe we are. But I'm thinking that was a moment. That was a moment where you go, I'm done. I've seen everything I need to see. That was pretty cool. Another observation. Voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. And I have two sons. And I love my sons. I love Mason and Marcus, the 23 and 21. And I love the relationship we have. It's not perfect. I've not been a perfect dad. They've certainly not been perfect kids. But I love to tell my boys, I'm so proud of you. And I have a good relationship with my dad. And my dad will say, I'm so proud of you. And I have to think for Jesus, that was a pretty cool moment. And I know it's tricky, right? Because he's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God says to his son, you bring me great joy. And I suppose one of my observations here is I'd like to say to some of you in the room that I'm sorry if you haven't had that affirmation on a consistent basis in your life. If you haven't heard from a mom or a dad or key people in your life, you're dearly loved and you bring great joy. Because so many of you in this room, wow, you are dearly loved. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, right? Is we can be brothers and sisters even though we're not related biologically. We're related, if we're followers of Jesus, we're related through the blood of Christ. And I want to tell you, you are dearly loved. And you bring great joy. Now, you're not perfect, so keep working on it. But you're dearly loved and you bring great joy. So we were talking about baptism this week, and I don't know how it came up exactly. I think Janetta brought it up. And so I just asked the question of our teaching team, me, Daniel, Jim, Janetta. And I said, so tell me about when you were baptized. And Janetta started. She said, well, the third time I was baptized was in obedience at age 27. The second time was in the Jordan River at age 23 because I was there and it sounded cool. The first time was as a teenager because other people were getting baptized, and my dad's a pastor, so I should probably do it. Jim, I said, Jim, when were you baptized? He was baptized at Oak Lawn at age 16 for all the right reasons. That sounds like Jim, right? So, Janetta, you're like, okay, I need more of that story. You can talk with her after service. But Jim, of course, first time, only time, all the right reasons. Congratulations. We're very proud. Are you proud of Jim Wood? Are you proud of Pastor Jim Wood? Yes, I'm proud of Jim. Daniel said, and I loved how we're all pastors and all these weird answers, except Jim. Daniel said the first time was at age 11 or 12. He couldn't remember exactly which, and he did it to join the church so he could vote. It was a membership issue, and Daniel wanted to vote. Now, he was already 6'3 and growing a beard at the time. No, that's not true. The second time was at age 21 and a half. I don't know why you added the half. After age 20, we really don't do halves anymore. But anyway, at age 21 and a half in Florida because he'd become a Christian, and his parents, he grew up in a very conservative, fundamental Baptist church. And I'm not trying to hammer on Baptists. I married a Baptist, and she's great. I've turned her into a Wesleyan. But anyway, his parents got mad and said, you've already been baptized. So, sort of similar to my friend Tony. So I'm listening to these stories of Janetta, Jim, and Daniel and going, man, baptism can be confusing. And so I want to talk about some wrong reasons to get baptized. Wrong reason number one, I don't want to go to hell. Now, I don't want you to go to hell. I believe in a hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell anymore. I believe in hell. I think it's a place of eternal torment. I don't think it was created for humanity. I think there's an enemy of God, and his name is Satan or Beelzebub or whatever names you've heard him referred to. Satan, the great deceiver, whatever you want to refer to. It was created for him, the one that was cast down, that stood up, rose up against God, and was cast out with his angels, his demonic angels. And that place is reserved for them. And God doesn't want people to go there, and I don't believe God predestines people to go there. I believe God wants everyone to be saved. Now, some people, by their own choice, choose to live a life separated from God. And unfortunately, if they continue to do that, I believe that they will live a life in eternity. We're all going to live forever. The question's where. But you should not get baptized simply because, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I need to get baptized. It's a good reason, but it's not good enough. It's wrong. Another one is this. It sounds cool. You know, I saw Rich get baptized, and that was awesome. It just seemed so cool. Like, everyone was so affirming, and they were so excited about him, and everybody loved Rich, and I want that same experience. That seems awesome. No, it's the wrong reason. It is cool. Baptism is really cool. But that's a wrong reason to get baptized. Here's another one. Family tradition. Well, my grandpa was baptized in this church, or my mom was baptized in this church, or, you know, whatever the family relationship or issue. Like, that's great. But there are no spiritual coattails that we ride to have a relationship with Christ. You need to get baptized, not because your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or cousin or friend is a Christian and it's a family tradition. You need to get baptized because you love Jesus, not because of family tradition. Another one is to become a member of the church, like Daniel, to vote. Like, I remember, you know, my son going, you know, Dad, I'm going to Indiana Wesleyan, which is a Christian university in our denomination. And he's like, I need to become a member of the church so I can get some extra financial aid, church matching scholarship. And so I got to become a member. And what do I need to do to be a member? Well, you got to, you know, profess faith in Jesus. You got to be baptized. And oh, you know, it's like, that's a wrong reason to be baptized. I mean, I think it's great. I think to become a member of a church shows a certain sign of commitment to a local church, that you're not flaky and disappear when things get rough or tough. But that's not the best reason to get baptized. So another one is this, wrong reason to get baptized. I'm struggling with sin. And you know what? I get baptized and I won't struggle with sin anymore. I have news for you. You will struggle with sin on and off the rest of your life. And some days, some weeks, some months, you'll do better than others. But you will never get to a point, where you don't deal with the enemy and the temptations that come and the battle we fight. Now, I'm not getting into all the theology of the old is gone, the new has come. I believe that we're a new creation in Christ. And I believe we have power over sin. And I believe greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But don't deceive yourselves. He who says he is without sin is a liar. That's what John said. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just. God will forgive us of our sin. Why? Because we're dearly loved and we bring him great joy. And when we're honest with him and say, oh, God, I blew it. Please forgive me. God says, absolutely. Try your best not to do it again. Please. But don't get baptized thinking all of a sudden you're going to become like this superhero Christian that never messes up, right? In our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. So I will boast all the more in my weakness. Now, I won't sin on purpose. Like, well, hey, let me sin on purpose so people can see how awesome God is. No, that's being a hypocrite. And can I just tell you? Non-Christians hate hypocrites. They hate it. And that's why they stay away from the church. There are a lot of hypocrites. So struggle with sin honestly with God's help, but don't get baptized thinking, I'm going to just all of a sudden never sin again. No. Unfortunately, I've seen people, as soon as they get baptized, life gets harder, and then they like run away from God, and they run away from the church. And I'm like, what is that? What just happened? I'm like, no, lean in. Another wrong reason, to get God's attention or favor. And most of you know, I am not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel kind of preacher. I mean, I think health is a great idea. I think wealth can be leveraged for the kingdom. Prosperity, man, to whom much is given, much is required. I'm not opposed to those things, but my Savior died penniless on a Roman executioner's cross. And so wrong reason to get baptized is think, well, if I'm baptized, then God will really show his favor on me. No, your life might be difficult. James, the brother of Jesus, James wrote a book in the Bible, the book of James. And right in the beginning, he says, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So, if you're getting baptized to get God's favor, guess what? You might have trial right around the corner. Man, I'm making baptism sound awesome, right? All of you want to sign up. Anybody who's not been baptized, like, woo, where is it? Dunk me today. Those are some wrong reasons, but let's talk about some right reasons. First of all, to follow the example of Jesus. In Mark 1:9, we see it. Jesus did it. And if anybody really didn't have to, I mean, I know I gave that whole disclaimer about why he had to, because he was fulfilling all that was required. But if you think about it, he could have said, nah, I pass. I'm exempt, but even Jesus was baptized. And I'm thinking, if he did it, we need to follow that example. Now, I'm not saying if you get to heaven and you stand at the pearly gates or however that, I don't know how the intake works at heaven exactly, but when you get there, if they go, were you baptized? No. Well, straight to hell. I don't believe that. But I believe if we have the information and we have the knowledge and we know Jesus' example, why would we not step towards something very obvious that he himself did? Why would we not do? Why would we be resisting that? So the right reason, I think, is to follow the example. He came from Nazareth, and he was baptized by John. He submitted to someone else who said, I'm not even worthy to do it. And he said, no, you need to do it. And it probably should have been the other way around. Jesus should have baptized John, but no. Jesus actually, fascinating when you think about it, right? Jesus submitted himself to a human authority. So he sat under someone's teaching and someone's leadership in that moment and honored his father. And we need to follow that example. Another one is this, to align with the mission of Jesus. I mean, the Great Commission, if you've read the Bible in Matthew 28, it says this, what? Jesus says to his followers, go into all the world, go to people everywhere, and make them my disciples, and do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, if Jesus said that's part of the mission of the church, to baptize them, to teach them everything I've commanded, why would we skip that one? And so baptism, in a sense, is aligning ourselves with the mission of Christ. They say, well, Jesus, man, the last thing he said before he left planet Earth was do these things. So guess what? I need to baptize people, but I myself need to be baptized. And then another right reason, to publicly identify with him. You know, when I was a younger man, on August 1st, 1992, in a really funky-looking tux, and you should have seen Karen's wedding dress. I did not put a picture up here on purpose. And the bridesmaids' dresses were so ugly. Oh, they're so ugly. But we stood up, and I said, I am so proud of the fact that for the rest of my life, I get to identify myself with this amazing woman. That I get to do that. That, you know, when I first saw her, she was actually dating somebody else, and I said to my friend, I'm going to marry that girl. And he goes, yeah, right. And I did. That she actually would say yes. And, oh, if you knew me. If you knew me at 18 or 19 or 20 years old. Oh, my goodness. I've been good for Karen, but she's been really good for me. And to publicly identify with her. But, you know, even then, I tell people this all the time. Because I've not only done baptisms, I've done weddings. And I tell couples who are coming in and, you know, they got the stars in their eyes and they're just gaga in love for each other. And I say, as much as you love this person needs to be a really close second to Jesus. Jesus is number one in my life, not Karen. And that's how it should work. And Jesus, as far as I know, is number one in her life. And I'm a really close third. Well, no, I think I'm second. She loves our boys a whole bunch. And the Hallmark movie channel. So I think I'm like second or third. But I want to publicly identify with Jesus. You know, they came to some water. There's this guy in the Bible after the church is exploding and dispersing. And there's this man, he's a eunuch. And if you don't know what that is, look it up later. I'm not going to explain it right now. But Philip sees this man reading the scripture, and he starts engaging him in conversation, and they come to some water, and this man says to Philip, look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? And so he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. In the early church, the natural immediate response to following Jesus was, I want to get baptized. But Christians wait all the time. I've been a pastor in different churches, and I talk to people who have been following Jesus for a long time, and I go, why haven't you been baptized? And some of the excuses and reasons, I think, I'm like, okay, I know we're not supposed to judge, but that is stupid. Like, that is such a lame excuse. Like, God's okay with that? You're okay with giving God that excuse? Any of you raised children and have your kids ever make a lame excuse? Any of you children yourselves at one time and you made lame excuses to your parents and you knew it was a lame excuse, but you really tried to sell it because you're a good seller or you're a good liar? And you see where I'm going with this? Like, to publicly identify with Jesus is a right reason to get baptized. It's so right. So I guess the question I would ask is this: what might you need to do to demonstrate simple obedience, regardless of what's next? Like, don't worry about what's next. If you need to step into relationship with God, don't worry about what comes after that. Just step into relationship with God, simple obedience. If you've given your life to God, simple obedience would be, have I been baptized? If you haven't been baptized, let's do it. Let's schedule a baptism service. I would love for people to clamor to say, man, I can't wait to get baptized. But hey, I didn't tell you my story. I was baptized at age 15. I was a consummate hypocrite. I was drinking a lot of alcohol. I was dabbling in drugs. I was spending way too much time around some relationships that weren't healthy for any of us. But at 15, our church announced they were going to have a baptismal service, and a bunch of my friends said they're getting baptized. And I'd grown up in church, and so I'm like, oh, it's probably time for me to keep up the pretending act. And, you know, they're getting baptized, and it would look good if I got baptized. So at 15, I got baptized. Our church didn't even have a baptismal, so we had to go to a church down the road, Kentwood Christian Church. I grew up at Kentwood Community Church. We had to go to Kentwood Christian Church because they had a baptismal. And at 15, I got baptized by my senior pastor. But can I tell you, as nice as it was, as emotional it was, as much as the church was affirming of what I did, I knew in my heart this was the wrong reason to be baptized. I knew it. But I was keeping up appearances, I was keeping up the show, I was pretending like I was a good follower of Jesus, and I was far from God. So fast forward 11 years later, and my life has completely changed. I've had a call to ministry, I've turned away from a lot of sin, I've met Karen and some other great people who are encouraging me in my followership of Jesus, I've rededicated my life to God, and now I'm a pastor, and I'm working in Buffalo, New York, where I baptized my friend Tony Spino. And I'm in the tank with another pastor, Pastor Gary, and we've baptized, I don't know, 15, 20 people that night. And Gary, I just love Gary's heart. He said, hey, if you're here tonight and you're really moved by the testimonies, the stories of people, life change, what God has done, and you're like, I need to get baptized. He's like, we've got extra towels. We've even got some shorts and t-shirts that you could throw on so you don't go home dripping wet. But he's like, that's not the worst thing that could happen. Go home dripping wet. Let your neighbors see and say, I got baptized. And he said, but is there anybody here? And there's, I don't know, 300 or 400 people in the room. And I'm in the tank with him because we had some people he needed assistance, you know, putting in the water. And I'm standing there and I'm like, I need to get baptized. I'm a pastor. And I never got baptized for the right reason. And I'm here baptizing people. And I need to do this as a sign of obedience. But all this stuff's running in my head. I mean, Gary's talking and we're waiting and there's music playing. And, you know, it's just this kind of cool moment. And I'm like, people are going to be like, has he not been a real pastor all this time? Should we fire him? Should we quit paying him? Should we ask for back pay? Should he reimburse the church? Has he been a fake? I mean, this is all playing in my head. And like all the reasons I shouldn't do it. Like, no, don't, not now. Tell Karen later. Tell Gary privately. Do not do it in front of all these people. And I lean forward and I go, I need to get baptized. And Gary is a really nice pastor. And he's more subtle than some of the pastors I work with, like Daniel or Janetta or Jim. And, or me, he's more subtle than me. And he just very nicely turns and he goes, what? And I'm like, I need to be baptized. I was baptized for all the wrong reasons when I was 15 years old. But since then, God has changed my life. I love him. I want to follow him. I have been following him. I want to identify with him. I want to align with his mission. So I was 26 years old. I've been a pastor 3 or 4 years, and I got baptized at Eastern Hills Wesleyan Church in Buffalo, New York. So again, I ask, what might you need to do to demonstrate simple obedience regarding what's next? Regardless of what's next. Who cares what's next? Do you need to give your life to God? Do you need to, I've done that, but do you need to get baptized? If you've done those things, what's next? What's the next simple act of obedience? And so I just, we're using hashtags in the series. Hashtag water as worship. I want to get in the water. I want to worship God because of all he's done for me. All that was required, he did. He took care of. And I want to simply say thank you, God. You're amazing.
Thanks again for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more, visit our website at olathewesleyan.org or visit us on a Sunday morning for a 10:30 worship gathering. Thanks so much.